Welcome to the Perfectly Sancho, episode 362. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm willing to record with you guys, just don't leave me alone in the room with you. None of that.
That's fair. I mean, we shouldn't
be alone in the room with you.
No. That's all. No, especially Fozzie.
Fair enough. And Fozzie is here this week.
Let's go camping.
Jeff is here as well.
Tony, I'm just asking for your loyalty, that's all.
Oh man!
Whoa!
I can't give you loyalty, but I will tell you the truth.
Pete,
you Tony, Tony stole my Trump joke right there. I was going to ask him for honesty.
Damn it,
motherfucker!
We got some stuff to talk about because E3 is literally right around the corner.
Oh, I'm so excited!
If you are listening to this on Friday, E3 starts tomorrow in a weird turn of events. Where E3 starts 3 days early.
I like it. The weekend, baby.
I kind of do as well, right? Like, I don't need to worry about, like, all right, do I go to work? Do I have to yeah. miss work?
There's no worry. The answer is no. You don't go to work. And then you just spend the only Monday. And his Monday is just the national day of video games.
Well, as much as I liked taking that as a national holiday, I'll also take it as a free day off on my weekend.
And right.
Watch it then. Sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I also like that it's spread out, right? Like,
yeah.
It's, I like the endurance run, personally. But
it's so. I was listening to the Bombcast today, and one of the things that I heard them say, I think Jason said this, by the time you get to the end of Sony's press conference, you've forgotten what happened at Microsoft's 12 hours earlier.
And I think Microsoft finally realized that, and so they want, like, now they have a full 24-hour news cycle before Sony goes and just, like, steals all their thunder.
And like, now, provided all the shows are good, like, we'll have time to, like, sit and process them and understand. Yes, it will be different not having that push, like, having all of it, but I think I like maybe having a breather. I'm old now.
No.
I'm still going to miss all of it, so.
Yeah, Tony's still going to miss.
When do you leave?
My flight leaves in 8.5 hours.
Oh.
Damn, son.
All right. Well.
Damn.
Yeah, so E3 is very short around the corner. We do have some news, I guess, that is kind of leaked out this week.
Yeah. Where do we want to start?
Why don't we start with the three things you just told us before the show?
Okay, so today's news?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me find it. Okay, so according to, I love the Kotaku headline that just says nobody wanted this, but Bubsy is officially coming back.
Does anybody remember Bubsy? I don't have a fondness for Bubsy.
I wasn't alive, so
shut up.
You weren't alive.
Bubsy, I don't know when Bubsy first came out, but everybody talks about him as like a broken PlayStation platformer, but I guess even before that it was a SNES thing.
It sounds vaguely true.
Yeah, all I remember is that the last Bubsy game, Bubsy 3D, was released in 1996. Yeah, okay, so I was obviously alive then, but I barely remember. I was five.
Can't keep your facts straight.
I literally can't hear a word Fozzie's saying. It just sounds like yelling on top of a mountain.
He said you can't keep your facts straight.
Oh, that's right. No, my facts were just wrong to begin with. That's my bad.
Pete's alternative birth.
Yeah, but the only thing I remember about Bubsy 3D was that anytime anyone talked about it, they talked about it in the vein of how Crash Bandicoot just like kicked their ass because they were able to do like fully 3D rendered environments, and Bubsy had like an open world type thing, but it was just a blank canvas of like transparent textures. So, you know, 20 years later.
Did anybody play like the Bubsy SNES games or the
no?
Bubsy 3D?
Nope.
Hey.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
You liked
Bubsy. You were a cat and you were platforming.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah.
Cat Foreman.
Give me some blinks.
Oh, easy on that.
Tony. So is this a 3D? is this a 3D platformer or is it?
Oh. Yeah, I think so. I'm watching the trailer right now. It's only 30 seconds. It's being developed by Black Forest Games.
Hell yeah.
And like Accolade, which was shuttered in 2000.
Hell yeah.
Has just like been resurrected out of nowhere. And yeah, no, this is it's 3D graphics on a 2D side scrolling plane, it looks like. Okay. Very like New Super Mario Brothers. Coming in the fall to PS4 and Steam. So finally Bubsy can be on the PlayStation.
Great. Just what we've always wanted.
I mean, exactly. It, like, from the brief trailer, it looked, like, kind of neat from just, like, a 2D platforming thing. I know everybody looks at Bubsy as, like, the black child of mascot platformers.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it's fine, I'd probably get it, but I'm not, like, excited because
no, me neither. I mean,
no attachment to Bubsy at all.
I mean, exactly. I don't love it. My only knowledge of Bubsy is all the bad stuff anybody has ever said about him, so...
Yeah,
my assumption is that
he looks like a very snarky cat.
Yeah, it's like if, yeah, kind of like Conker
Chester the. I was gonna say like Cheeto.
Oh
yeah,
Chester Cheeto.
Okay, well, it seems like Fozzie's very excited for Bubsy.
Hell yeah.
He's still so hard to hear. Am I the only one who can barely hear Fozzie?
No, he sounds like he's in a fucking soup can. Okay. Like 30 miles
away. I'm not the only one.
I'm on my phone fucking constructing these speaker stands, so don't mind me.
It's fine. Just keep saying hell yeah. It's great. what else broke today? Assassin's Creed news?
Yes. So, where's that one? Yeah. So Target, I guess, is putting out these, like reservation cards, that are also a free $5 Target gift card, which purchase of reservation and reserved games, some back card for you. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, it's their Assassin's Creed themed. It's called Assassin's Creed Origins. It says it includes game, deluxe pack, season pass, and then it says reserved now for bonus mission, secrets of the first pyramids, and yeah, the whole image behind the title is, you know, the pyramid, and you're a dude who has, like, an eagle on his shoulder and a bow, and there's a sphinx and a bunch of, like, Egyptian shit. So, it's basically what everybody thought it was.
Yeah, so no big surprise there.
No. So, one would assume that it'll officially premiere in 4 days. At Ubisoft's conference.
Yes. Anything else break today?
Let's see. The last thing. Oops, I just closed the last thing. This isn't necessarily news so much as it's just like sort of a really weird thing where CD Projekt Red came out and was like, "Hey, a bunch of assholes like hacked our development studio and stole a bunch of like really old files on Cyberpunk 2077, and are trying to get us to pay them for it, and we're not going to pay them for it." So if they release them, just realize that these are
like really old.
Really old, like back when the first trailer came out, and that they don't represent anything about the game that we're currently making. So
cool. Alright, well that sucks, but
yeah.
So some other things that kind of came up this week, over the last week. Nintendo announced that I guess I don't know if we talked about them canceling or delaying their online till 2018.
Yeah, that was all last week.
But did we also talk about this $20 and all that?
Yep. So. Yeah, I think that broke that morning.
Yeah. But they had a Pokemon Direct.
Yeah, it was a fucking bummer.
It was a sad Direct.
I'm so happy. I was like blissfully unaware of it until after it was over, basically. And I was like, ha 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 ha. You guys thought they were going to do something good? Anyway, go ahead.
Well, basically, that's it, right? So they announced, what's it, Ultra Moon and Ultra Sun?
Yeah, basically part two of that stuff.
They didn't really even announce them. They just kind of mentioned them at the end. That's all you got.
Weird.
But they are going to be 3DS games. on some level makes a lot of sense. The 3DS has a huge install base, and and they're probably reusing a lot of the assets from Sun and Moon.
100%. I mean, if you look at it, it's basically like they just made, like, I think it's the same game, and they just made a couple of new assets to dump in different places as like new content.
Okay.
It's going to be new islands and stuff.
Hell yeah.
Go ahead, look, Jeff.
I heard that actually, though.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, the hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyways, I think it's like it's fine, but like, why on earth is there not a port to the Switch?
Exactly.
They should be like also coming to the Switch. Also coming to the Switch is a new Pokemon game that takes advantage of the power of a home console that you can take on the go.
Right.
Like, and I think
the reason everybody like on the internet was really mad is because when you looked at it, like the press page briefly, it listed a Switch to be announced under release dates. It's a Nintendo 3DS, November 17th. And then right below that said Nintendo Switch to be announced.
Oh, it did.
And everyone was like, oh shit, we're getting a port and stuff. And then immediately after, Nintendo was like, no, some stupid intern didn't delete that line. It's a clerical error. Yeah.
But the Switch is getting a Pokemon game.
It's not the one anyone asked for.
They're getting it. It's Pokken
tournament, yeah.
I heard it's good, but like, again,
I played it, it's fun, but they reissued Mario Kart, and it's like, hey.
Yeah.
Except this actually comes with new content that wouldn't be in the Wii U version. Not like DLC, but like, hey, we actually added in a bunch of new fighters for you.
Well, Mario Kart has stuff too.
Did Mario Kart have like Switch exclusive content? Besides Battle
Yeah, Run? Yeah.
Yeah, they had Squid Girl and...
Oh, okay. I thought it was just all the...
Yeah, it had the Inklings, and it did have... I mean, Battle Mode... I mean, that is...
The battle Mode, content. Right?
That That's, was, it's way better. Mode. Like, yeah, it's totally different than what it was on Wii U. Like, the Wii U shit is not even on there for Battle Mode.
Right.
Cool. So, anyways.
Pokemon Snap.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
No Pokemon Snap yet, right? Like, so, sorry.
I just want Pokemon proper on fucking Switch, dude. What the fuck?
Right. I am with you, Jeff. I understand why they wouldn't, though. That is a franchise that they release. Like, even if you go back to when the 3DS launched, that year they released that game on the DS. I think it was Black and White 2 came out that year.
Yeah. I mean,
and that was a DS game.
Like, they've put out on the DS, they put out five Pokemon games, like Diamond and Pearl, Gold and Silver reissue, Black and White, Platinum, Black and White 2. Right? Like, I think like over the 10 years the DS was out, they put out five like Pokemon series, and in the 3DS they've only put out two. It was like Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
X and Y.
Oh, right. I totally forgot about X and Y. Okay, so they put it out there. Right. And so this will be, I guess, the fourth one.
Yeah. And then hopefully the next one will be on the Switch.
Yeah, well, sure, hopefully. Because, like, yeah, at the very least, they could have just said, by the way, just so you know, we are working on a Pokemon game for the Switch. You know? Like, you need to
that would have been nice,
there.
Right?
Just say it. Like, reassure us that you have any idea what the fuck you're doing, but,
I don't know if they do.
Hey, but at the same time, man, like, it's not like it isn't making them a shit ton of money. Like,
I mean, I understand.
It's still successful. I mean, like, a lot of people were bummed, but, like Chris was saying, the install base is just incomparable at this point. Like, why would you... I mean, it's a chicken and egg scenario, of course, where, like, if you put the game, then it would be on there, it would be a huge reason for people to buy a Switch.
I am kind of with Jeff on like... Just say that, like, hey, it's not like this isn't the time for it, but we are looking at the Switch. We are
like it's
developing
coming.
For it.
Yeah.
Give us a bone, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, I don't like it was like a what an 8-minute direct or something. It was, and they announced two games, and that was it. It was so pointless.
Because Tony, you're not even going to look at the Switch until
no,
then,
not,
right?
Like, no, I need Pokemon on there. If there's no Pokemon, there's no point.
Breath of the Wild, bro.
Nah, fuck that.
Buy it for one game.
It's the one game you need.
I mean, Mario Odyssey. That's only two.
Yeah,
Right. Yeah. My hope is that E3 brings us Smash Brothers or something. Like, and when I know when Smash Brothers comes out, the countdown clock will begin to when I eventually get a Switch.
Are we going to do predictions later?
Later.
Yeah.
We'll but get into that. I'm just saying in terms of this stuff.
I don't want to maybe jump into the predictions yet, but I do think we are going to see like a Super Smash DX or whatever. DX seems to be what they're doing with the like they're bringing those Wii U games over.
That's not the Smash Brothers I want to see.
That's the Smash Brothers you're
going to. That'll be so like if it's just a repackaging of Super Smash Brothers U with all the DLC characters and like two more fighters. Yep. I see no reason to buy that. Yeah.
That game is such a complete package to begin with, though. Like,
right? Like,
I accept them porting it.
Do you just like add a dude from Arms and one of the Inklings, and then just call it a day?
What do you do for a sequel to that, dude? There's like 8 billion everything in that. Like, that's a really good version of that game. I mean,
sure.
That's why I'm okay.
I think they will eventually, right? But.
Yeah, they will.
You know, take advantage of the power, make something unique for Twitch in terms of how it'll play, or something. I don't know, man. Just like,
wasn't the director burned down on that series? Didn't he like publicly say
that's why Namco Bandai made the last game?
Really,
Sakurai like consulted, but they gave development to Namco Bandai for the Wii U game.
Really?
Yes. Well, and he was burnt out because of, on Brawl, and everyone hated Brawl because of it. Like Brawl is the
it's kind of the ugly stepchild or whatever.
Yeah, like 100%.
Yeah.
All right. And Fozzy.
Well, hi.
Shenmue 3 has been delayed.
How do you feel?
Who cares?
Hell yeah!
Wait, hold on.
Wait, did you? Did you back off of your $1?
Yeah, I gave them $1. Yeah. And I said, suck it.
Just allows you to leave them a message and it just says, suck it.
Yeah, I didn't know how to back out of it, so I just gave them the least amount of money, which was $1. So I'm going to get my thank you.
Hey, you get your thank you in 2018.
Woo!
Right.
That's fine.
Or 19, or whenever the game actually appears.
Oh.
And one more, I guess this came out in an interview a couple days ago, but Sony came out and said some weird stuff they were saying about kind of backwards compatibility and how it's basically stupid. Nobody uses it. And why would you want to go play those games again? They're really ugly.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean...
It's true of some of them. Like I look
at games.
Say,
like, I was gonna say, dude. Yeah, go ahead.
I've totally like looked at games. Like I wished I could have played that back in the day, but I'm not buying it now because I know it's butt ugly and I would never play it.
Yeah, dude,
like some PS1 era games, like any kind of 3D game, dude. Rough.
They're rough.
Like
yeah,
Symphony of the Night. Yes. Anything trying to do 3D. Like, I mean, I could play Resident Evil, but other than that, dude, like...
Well, that's, like, Resident Evil, Dino Crisis, that type of stuff, like, they had those pre-rendered backgrounds, so they looked, I mean, they don't look great now, but they hold up okay.
Yeah, but, like...
Yeah, like, you were trying to do a polygonal...
Yeah.
...area, though. It was pretty rough, but still, like, I mean, that's just... That's PS1 stuff. Like PS2, some of those games still look pretty good.
Oh yeah, PS2, absolutely. Yeah.
And I don't know. Like it seems really weird. Like I don't use it a ton on my Xbox One, but it is something I like that is there.
Absolutely.
And I am playing Injustice on it right now through backwards compatibility. So
we're all playing fighting games. Damn,
it's weird.
We are.
Weren't you playing?
I bought a fighting game, but I haven't played it.
Oh, you just buy the games and you don't play them.
I don't know. It seems like it's almost like Sony like is trying like they're getting cocky again, and that was some of their downfall with PS3. Like at the beginning, was they were so like, oh, we're on top of the world.
Yeah,
we know better.
But, like, at the same time, they progressively took backwards compatibility away from the PS3, and it didn't really do anything. Like, it didn't affect them very negatively at all.
It's just cool to have, though, dude. Like,
it's like a consumer-friendly item, right? Like, it's a... Right, but
when the PS3 launched, it had full backwards compatibility, and then as the years went on in that system, it slowly just went away, and nobody really cared.
Well, it didn't happen slowly. It didn't happen suddenly because the system was so overpriced. Like, they had to start cutting features to get it down to a point where people would actually buy it.
Yeah, every iteration, I think it was...
Like, let's not pretend like it was, like, a conscious, oh, we got rid of it because we noticed people didn't want it. I mean, it was because nobody's buying our system. We had to get rid of it.
Yeah, right. People started buying it. It's not like everyone looked at it and was like, this won't play my old games. I don't want it. Because at the same time, the 360 was barely backwards compatible either. Like, they still don't know how to get regular Xbox games to play, how to get them to play on.
There were Xbox games that played on the Xbox 360.
Yeah. Right, but it was a small list, right? Like, not all of them.
By the end of it, it was a good chunk of the game. It was like any game you would want to play, almost.
Yeah, like all the big games were backwards compatible.
Yeah.
Are they backwards compatible through the emulated 360 system now?
No.
Okay. No, yeah.
You can't put an Xbox disc in your Xbox One and have it play there.
Unfortunately, that would be awesome, but right. No.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't look at my PS4 and be like, man, that collection of PS2 games I got downstairs is just burning a hole in my pocket. Like, I really wish I could go play.
No, I like to have that library there. Like, I think there are PS2 games that are worth playing for sure. Like,
right, and I've bought them again.
Why would they shit on them and be like, meh?
I mean, whatever about the graphics quality or anything like that. But I mean, like, you know, like, I bought Final Fantasy X and X-2 again. Chris has bought the Kingdom Hearts remakes. I want to buy the Kingdom Hearts remakes and stuff, you know, like...
Right, and I mean, that there's value definitely in having remakes. Like, I mean, I bought the Master Chief Collection, which had, you know, four different Halos in it. I have those Halos on my 360, but, like, the being able to play them all on the new system, a better graphical fidelity, and same with BioShock or Borderlands or any of those packages that have been brought forward. But there is value in, like, having backwards compatible games, like.
I mean, I guess, I don't know, nobody felt that way from Wii to Wii U either when they were like, yeah, we'll play GameCube games anymore.
But that's...
No one expects it to go, two steps back. Although, that would be great.
Isn't that what the PS4 to PS2 would be?
No, the PS4 to PS3, they said they don't give a shit about any of, like, that. They basically shat on all
old
of
games
their legacy.
In general.
Yeah.
Right, in general.
Like, it wasn't even, like... So we don't have any desire to go back to that. Why would you want to play that? We have new games. Like, that to me is like a weird sentiment.
You should, like, have that stable there.
Especially PlayStation. Like, they have a huge library of
I'm not even awesome saying touch classic up. Games. I'm not even saying touch it up. Just let me play it in widescreen or whatever. But, like, that's it. That's cool. That's fine. Like, I will gladly buy a lot of those games. And if they just be there... I don't know, for the sake of preserving history, almost, like, what the fuck? Why? And why not? Like, you have that as shit to sell with zero work, almost. You know?
Right, like, they have a working PS1 emulator. Like,
yeah.
Because they've sold us PS1 classics in the past, so.
Right.
And, I mean, that is what I use my Vita for. It is basically a portable PS1.
Now, that sounds like something I can get behind. If it weren't
if you have a Vita,
expensive.
You can. Can already do that.
I've looked into it, man. No matter where I go, that thing is still like $250.
If I knew you wanted it, I would have sold it to you, dude. I sold mine.
Nah, it's all good. I didn't want it until like a month ago after I played Persona, so no worries.
And it's funny hearing, you know, Sony come out and do this as I'm playing in the original Injustice on my Xbox One like this week. Like, oh, who wants to do that? Well, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
And I reinstalled Oblivion. Like, I might play that.
Ooh, yeah. It's a good choice.
Anyway, so yeah, I've been playing Injustice. That game's pretty cool.
You're not a fighting game person either, right?
No, I'm playing it on easy.
Like, yeah, I mean,
I'm still losing occasionally.
Yep.
They're close when I lose, but still, I'm not good at like comboing and like I don't know.
Great though.
That game is really good.
I'm hoping that the new one will drop in price soon, and I can jump on that.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna get it when it drops too.
It reminds me of like Soul Calibur. Like that's like the only other fighting game I can play. Like this game is kind of like that, where it's like the story looks good, and there's a lot of collectible items and a lot of shit you can do. Which I like.
Fucking armor loot shit, dude.
Hell yeah.
The story in the original Injustice is pretty cool. Like I assume it works the same way with Injustice 2 and Jeff, you're playing Mortal Kombat.
Mm.
Where it's almost this like cinematic thing that just keeps flowing and it jumps you in and out of matches and
that's exactly how Mortal Kombat is, dude. It's like there's no break. Like your break is watching the fucking cutscene, which sometimes goes on for 10 minutes, like for real. But it's a constant flow. It's seamless. Like, it goes to the cutscene, and then all of a sudden, you're into the fucking fight.
And it's really cool.
Yeah, like, that's exactly how Mortal Kombat is. It's neat. It adds a lot to it, because, like, I hate old... Like, at some point, I realized I hate the genre, and I just suck at it. But, like, what they've done in the years since I played it last is, like... I don't know, it makes it much more approachable to me, just because it's so awesome.
Yeah.
Anyways. You have more to add there, Fozzie?
No, I was just saying they kind of made it mainstream where it's like,
yeah,
it's friendly now, it looks good, you know, you can play with friends and not feel, I mean, obviously there's definitely like that skill factor there, but I mean, I can play Injustice and, you know, I like hold my own as far as like having a good time with that too. Street Fighter seems boring because like so many things feel restricted, but I don't know. Just like everything, like the destructible environments, everything like that.
Being able to like move around the environment and like you get the like little button prompts that like something in the environment is usable or you can like kick somebody into something. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm not a big superhero guy either, but it's just it's kind of like seeing like Superman and shit like go at it. They did a good job with it.
Yeah, and like in X-Men they have this like meter that fills up, and once it does you can do like these X-ray things where you just like are crushing people's rib cages and smashing their skulls, etc. Like and unique animations to each character that there is in it. Another great thing is the fatalities are way easier to pull off than they were when we were kids. Like, it's nowhere near as precise in your button presses to pull them off.
And it, like, trains you. You never had that when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You got to, like, figure it out, right? Like,
yeah, there's a whole mode, and you can always pull up your move list.
Yeah, I never got any fatalities, like, when I played on the Genesis.
No, it would always be like, oh, look, he's wobbling, and you're like, okay, walk up and whack him once, and he falls down.
Right.
I mean, that will still happen here sometimes, but, like, for the most part, they're pretty easy to pull off. I mean, I don't know. I'm really enjoying the game. I know if I ever played against someone who, like, ever played a fighting game, I would hate it because I'd be like, God damn it, you just kicked my ass. Like, because just like Chris said, I get my ass kicked in story mode by the computer sometimes. Like, when you get to like the boss character of a level, it's like, damn, dude. Yeah, it's not easy. So,
yeah.
Right. And I think what's nice about it is that, at least from the second game, is that there's so much, the multiverse mode really helps incentivize you from like a single player perspective, where like if you finish the story mode, there's like it's an endless mode of challenges that are very
different
instead of always being like, well, I finished the story mode and my friend doesn't want to play, this game is just going to sit here on my shelf now.
No, that was the other thing I wanted to add is like these, like at least Mortal Kombat XL, the one I'm playing right now, like there is more than enough content on there to justify a single player game. Like, there's a whole story mode. There's like all these towers and shit that you can do. There's like weekly challenge type shit. Like, tons of shit to do as a single like player game. So, I'm totally happy that I bought it, honestly, which surprises me. I hate fighting games.
I'm like 2 hours into Injustice's story, and that's way longer than I remember the campaigns and like Soul Calibur and any of that taking. Like those were like, you know, you could play through and get to the ending within like 7 or 8 matches, and this is like a nice lengthy campaign with like a cool goofy story, but
yeah.
I think I'd pick it up. I don't know. I like those games. They just look like quality games and would be fun. Like just like as like it's good always to have like one game in each genre. Like if I ever feel like playing Forza, I have Forza in my hard drive. If I want to play a fighting game, I can play Injustice. You know?
It's just the other thing. Like it just makes me happy that I have like an open mind and I revisit things I don't like. I do the same thing with like food. Where sometimes I don't like food, but I'll try it once a year to see, like...
Yeah.
And so, like, here I did. I tried a fighting game again. I'm like, you know what? This is pretty fucking good.
I did raisins recently.
Yeah, raisins are okay, actually, at the end of the day.
They're real bad.
They're bad.
Well, wait. Wait a second.
Awesome. Why are you guys making fun of raisins?
They're the worst. They're the false chocolate chip is what they are.
Well, I mean, if somebody were like, here's some chocolate chips and then fed you raisins, I could see why you'd be angry.
No, man. Somebody goes, here's a cookie and it looks like it's chocolate chip and then it's got fucking raisins.
Oh, it's oatmeal raisin? Like that's someone amazing. Betrayed you. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like they shouldn't
someone betrayed
you
and you're holding against raisins. Yeah. It's not the raisins.
They betrayed you with raisins.
Because oatmeal raisin cookies are great, but they should not tell you they're chocolate chip cookies.
Oatmeal chocolate chip, oatmeal cinnamon, anything but raisins. Jesus.
Tony, what fighting game did you buy?
I bought Injustice.
Oh, okay.
For PS4.
Cool. I'd be interested to hear your take on that once you get around to it after E3.
After E3 and my convention. After I feel like I can play a new game and not die.
Yeah. Do either of you guys have Mortal Kombat on Xbox or no?
I do not.
Damn it.
But
I played the other Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah.
How much did your Mortal Kombat from the UK cost you?
25. Hmm. But you could also
how
get
scared were you the first time you turned on the game, by the way? How frightened were you?
I was very scared. And the thing that was like worried me the most about it is because it took so much you know how like when you put a disc in the system, all of a sudden like it pops up and shit starts happening? Like it took like a minute before anything happened. I'm like, oh no, it's not recognizing the disc. And then like finally, and like it did that every step along the way. So then it would be like, this game needs an update, and I was like, okay, update. And then I went to go look at my queue, and it's just sitting there at 0% doing nothing. I'm like, oh no. and then finally it would just kick in. But yeah, everything's been fine since.
Like, I'm reading your whole series of tweets and just laughing at you the whole time. By the
way, I was like,
Xbox support is like, yeah, it's not region locked, and you're still like terrified.
Well, like, no, even when I Googled it and said, yeah, it's not region locked, I'm like, well, maybe in different territories it has different less violence, or like, you know, I was just like, I'm like, there's got to be some sort of difference that's going to fuck everything up. But everything was fine.
I get a text from Jeff at 10 o'clock on Monday morning with a picture going, will this work? Like, I think so.
It's like, it's like an Xbox game. You have an Xbox, right?
Yeah. Like, do you guys have any experience like playing like you know games from other countries like in the Xbox One?
When you buy Amazon games, you end up with them all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I always get stuff from Canada.
Yeah, I
never happened to
Canadian
me.
Stuff too, but I've gotten European stuff before. It doesn't make any difference.
I mean, PlayStation 4 is region free, so.
Yeah, so it's the Xbox.
You know what's interesting, though? In my Google searches, I found out it's actually not, or Mortal Kombat is not on PS4. For whatever reason, you have to buy it, like, wherever you live. So I got lucky.
If you had bought it on PS4,
yeah, I could have been fucked. Yeah.
All right. What else we got here?
I'm playing Crazy Taxi.
On the phone, right?
Like right now, I'm playing it.
On your phone?
Yeah, it's like a clicker game. It's real dumb, but it's like I like the style of like the characters and stuff. And I mean, if you listen to the Bombcast, they talked about it forever. And basically what they've said so far is really on point. Like, the writing's really fun, and it's not very hard. You just press buttons a lot. You pick up fares, and you, like, manage your upgrades and stuff, and that's it. Like,
I mean, so it's kind of like a pretty standard clicker, right? It just has a little more personality.
Yeah, no, it has a lot of personality. Like, all the characters are fairly unique and stuff, and they all have interesting personalities and stuff. I mean, I'm only playing it for the past 2 minutes, but, like, I don't know. It'll be one of those things that I play for 2 weeks and then totally forget about.
Right. Well, it's like most mobile games.
Right.
I've been playing Monument Valley 2 while we're talking about
mobile
games, I guess. I don't know if any of you played Monument Valley 1. That was a really cool puzzle game that dealt with like perspectives, kind of like Fez-like, where you're rotating stuff. And
did they what do you call it? Is it available only on iPad or is it iPhone as well?
I'm playing it on my phone.
Oh, okay, cool.
I think it's $5.
Okay,
Like really cool art style. This time there's two characters, so some of the puzzles like require you to move them across the screen like in different ways, or you split them up so that one person's on one platform and you're spinning the platform around so that they go in a different direction. So far I've played about 5 or 6 of the levels. They're really cool.
You sound like a fucking Star Wars droid, Fozzie.
Or a duck.
Star Wars duck. Droid duck.
It sounds like a probe droid. God.
Fozzie has finally quacked.
Kind of did. If you guys like puzzle games, I think Monument Valley 2 seems pretty good. So
yeah, I'll totally check that out. I never played the first one, but maybe I wonder what that one's. Maybe I'll play the first one first if it's cheap.
Yeah, because I mean there is kind of like a thin narrative, so you might want to.
I imagine it like playing the first one's a primer.
Oh, it'll definitely get you to understand how the everything works. They move you into it pretty slowly here as well. So, but I think if the first one probably, if you can get the first one, I would try that one first because it's a really cool game and great art style, great music. Listen to it, play it with headphones on. So, Jeff, you finally got into a match Friday the 13th.
Well, I've played many, many matches Friday the 13th.
You finally got into a public match.
A public match.
Yeah, I got into a couple here and there the other night, but then I tried it again.
It's not working.
Last night I waited like 3 or 4 minutes and it still got me nothing.
Is it fun to play? Because I have not heard.
Dude,
Jeff last week said it was fun.
It's very fun to play. Like, yes, after a while, it'll wear off, like, the novelty of it. And, like, being a camp counselor, yes, after a while, it is really just like you're running from cabin to cabin. You're searching through all these drawers, and you're hoping to find the right parts you need to get out of there. But if you play that game, like say if we all bought it and we were all playing it together, that is, like, the most fun game you will ever fucking play in your life. Because it's like fucking hide-and-seek for adults. It's so much fun, dude.
Right.
Like, it's just so, like, it has a certain novelty to it that wears off. But, like, to me, that game is, like, if you're a fan of that franchise and you can get people to play it with, like, it's fucking fantastic, you know?
Is it like a 7 versus 1? Like, how many?
Yeah, it is 7 versus 1. But, you know, you could do matches with less. You could do 3 versus 1, whatever. But
okay.
But that's gonna definitely put it way more in Jason's advantage because he already has like even 7 versus 1, he has an advantage. Like he'll probably win.
He
can teleport. He's got all sorts of fucking powers. He's basically unkillable. But if you're with like people who have played the game a bunch, like if I was with a bunch of people who like knew what was going on, like there's a good chance that at the very least 3 or 4 of you getting out of there, you know? And so, like, the match could just end either way. Like, Jason killed 3 out of 7 people, 4 out of 7 people, whatever. Or Jason you could potentially, I guess, kill Jason, but I've never seen it happen.
Okay.
And you can come back as what, Tommy?
As Tommy Jarvis, yeah. I've never been called back. Oh, no, actually I have. So, like, yeah, if you get killed and someone has radioed for Tommy Jarvis, it'll bring one of your Q's guys back as Tommy Jarvis. He's, like, faster and stronger than, you know, anybody else. Like, you could run, basically, like, Tommy Jarvis, as you're running around without pressing sprint, he's sprinting. And it doesn't consume any of his stamina. So, yeah, he's like, almost as overpowered as Jason. It's fun, dude. If you're a fan of that series, it's a no-brainer. But, like, everyone else, approach with caution because of technical issues.
Tony, you play anything else?
I played more Horizon Zero Dawn, which is awesome. Yes. I climbed my first long neck, which was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That was really cool. Awesome experience.
Yes. That and the cauldrons, for me, were the whole game.
I haven't done a cauldron yet. I have no idea what that is.
Those are like cool. The dungeons and stuff. Yeah, you'll find a side quest that will lead you to one.
Oh,
okay. And they're all totally optional. But I think you get to what is your reward usually? Isn't it
you get more hacking? Yeah, the other stuff. Yes. Right now, you can hack as the horse robot, but in order to hack any of the others, you need to complete the cauldrons.
Oh, okay.
So totally worth doing because you can hack like way more powerful dinosaurs to like. Fight for you, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, totally useful.
Like sawtooths or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you can get all the way up to, like, the thunder jaws and stuff.
I don't know if I was ever able to actually hack a thunder jaw, but...
I haven't. It's real fun. And if you do the hunting trials, there's actually a situation where they make you hack two of, like, the stronger sawtooths. I don't remember what they're called. And the ones with the Gatling guns on their backs.
Okay.
And then you get to, and you hack them to fight a Thunderjaw, and that's real cool.
That is pretty cool. I beat Prey.
Ooh.
Sweet.
How did you beat Prey? Did you, like, cheat? How did you get past that one part?
I mean, I didn't cheat. I guess I lowered the difficulty. And then I just ran by everything.
I feel like easy mode's the way to play that game.
From what I hear, yeah.
The ending kind of came up suddenly. It locked me out. I was actually working on a couple side missions, and I moved around a corner, and all of a sudden, like, I had triggered a cutscene that locked me out of all the side quests.
Does it not load you back at the end to be like...
I mean, you can, like, if you have a save, you could go back to there, but...
Oh, but it doesn't put you there. Gross.
No. That's an interesting game. It has a cool ending where you can make a couple choices, and the choices that you make and the way you play that game kind of impact your ending as well, so...
That's good. I'd like to hear that. Cool.
So, like, if you're kind of going through and killing... all the humans and all the stuff like that, that could have a negative impact on your ending.
Sure. That sounds like something that would do it.
It has, so that game starts out with a twist, and it has a twist at the end as well, which is, it's decent. I don't think the combat in that game is good though. And they put you in a lot of combat situations towards the end. Lowering it down to easy, definitely able to do it, but
it's weird that it sucks that the combat sucks because the stealth also sucks. So, like, it's one of those things where it's like, what is your
what are you going for here? Because you didn't flesh out your stealth to a point where that's the type of game it is. But also your combat kind of blows. Like, your shooting mechanics are not as strong as what you'd want out of a standard shooter. So
exactly.
But I mean, I enjoyed it. I might, if I were you guys, if you were interested in it, maybe wait a bit till it lowers a little bit in price.
And play it on easy.
And possibly play it on easy. Yeah.
There's no shame in it. I've been doing it many games.
I was going to say, a game like that, especially with one where, like, maybe its gameplay mechanics aren't totally solid, easy stuff, like, and it's story-based.
Yeah, so it's more
like I'd say, anyways. If any of you guys wind up renting or playing Nier, put that shit on easy and just blow through it, because it is a very boring game to play. It'll just be button-mashing your way through, and it's not very interesting. But it's a story worth seeing, so, like, I would totally recommend doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think that game has, Prey has really cool environments and stuff, so it is worth exploring. I just wish there was maybe less combat. So, anybody else play anything that they want to talk about?
I play with VR.
Yeah, what'd you play, Jeff?
So here's what happened. My buddy got off work and, like, randomly texted me. He's like, "Yo, can I come try out that Star Wars VR?" And so I was like, "Okay." And so, like, I hooked it all up again because, like, I don't have that shit hooked up.
Right.
So, like, and since I hooked it up and pulled it all out, like, I let him try it. And then I was, like, looking up shit to do on it. Like, I was looking, like, for free apps, and I saw that they had updated their YouTube app. So once he got the Star Wars one, I tried out YouTube, and I was, like, going on roller coasters and all sorts of weird shit, like, on YouTube. So, like, if you have PSVR, you know, you go on the YouTube app, you could, like, definitely look up videos and have VR experiences. And some of them are pretty damn cool, dude.
Is that, or there's the 360 videos?
Yeah, like 360 cameras. And yeah, a lot of them are, like, it's like a flat screen you're looking at, but you could also look up 360 3D. Like, if you type that in on YouTube, you will get, like, it's 3D. Like, there's a 3D effect, so it's, like, full-on VR.
That's cool.
And I mean, it's a lot blurry in a lot of cases.
I imagine the resolution isn't amazing on most of those.
No, some of them are some of them look amazing in comparison to some of the really shitty ones you get. But just in general, the ability to, like, just go on YouTube and kind of dick around on YouTube, like searching whatever you could think of, and doing shit like that was really cool. Like, so, like, I wanted some roller coasters. I wanted some Disney rides. I went on this one video, like, that took you to the Grand Canyon, and you're, like, down at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, like, standing in sand, and people are, like, playing, like, throwing frisbees around and shit, like, right around you. Like, you felt like you were on vacation or, like, somewhere else. Like, it was kind of amazing for, like, a free app for that.
It did make you, like, super sick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you said Disney rides, and I was like, what?
Well, like, the weird thing for me with VR is, like, I'm totally fine the whole time I'm in it. But if I do, like, a half-hour session or more and come out of it, it really fucks with your brain, dude, for, like, the rest of the day. Like, you feel off. I guess that's a real thing, dude. I'm not making it up. Like, you just feel woozy. I never, like, puked or anything, but I just feel not good after coming out of it sometimes.
Fantastic. That really makes me want to use VR.
But no, but here's the thing. I was like, when I was using it more after I bought it, like, my brain adjusted to it more. So, like, the more I played it, the VR hangover was way less severe to the point that
So after it altered your brain chemistry, you were fine.
Yeah.
Now, did you feel that way this way after, like, Resident Evil?
Like, yeah, like, a little bit, because I was playing with it so much back then, it was not as severe. Less. Yeah, like, so, like, this, after not having done, like, I have not pulled out the headset in months, and then I used it, and I was like, whoa, like, coming out of it, like, I felt really, like, I lost my appetite. Like, I didn't even eat dinner, I don't think. So, yeah.
Guys, the chances of me using VR just went way down.
Well, I played that game. Now I don't want to eat at all.
No, but, like, I didn't puke.
That's great.
That's good.
We'll put that on your tombstone. I didn't puke.
But also, like, I was saying, it's a matter. It's like it's like any drug. You build up your tolerance to it. So, you know, if you get used to it, you won't get sick coming out of it.
That's all I want is an electronic experience. I have to build up tolerance for.
I'm still having taking the hit here. Like, he is still testing it out for us.
It's cool. Fozzie, what does Fozzie have? Vive?
Yeah, I think he has Vive.
I'm sure they have. I'm sure you can do YouTube shit on that too. But like, yeah, it's just cool to be able to look up free videos like that and just like get that experience, like not paying anything more, and not that there is anything to buy because there isn't really.
But. Yeah, I mean, we'll get to it, but I'm wondering what VR will look like during the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, are they going to... I mean, obviously they're not going to spend as much time as they did at E3 last year, but, I mean, how much does it get mentioned at Sony Show?
I heard Microsoft's not talking about it at all. I thought there was supposed to be a headset for it, you know?
Right.
So no one buys it. So
what if they're like, what if they're bailing on it with like Microsoft doesn't do a headset for Scorpio?
I wonder if for them they're more concerned about getting their hardware out there and they don't want to muddy it with another thing.
Right. Here's this new system we're trying to talk about, and also this headset we're trying to talk about.
Right. And so, like they've announced like what headsets from Acer and a couple other companies for Windows for this year, so maybe that stuff comes like later. Maybe that's like a Gamescom thing or
so you still think that there will be VR for Xbox, like all y'all think that's still happening?
Maybe.
Seems like a waste of money at this point, honestly.
I believe in the technology, but I just feel like it has not taken off with the PS
right.
VR.
So. With anything, with PC, with PSVR, yeah. Like nobody really wants it. It was like an awesome, they thought it was the next big tech thing, but there's no market.
It is something though. Like I don't see it going away. Like it is definitely something. Like I don't think it's just a gimmick.
I think the experiences that you've told us about so far, like it's not ready yet. Like if I can't put this thing on and feel fine, why would I ever put it on? Why would I take that chance?
Like, I think they have to,
and it's so expensive to get in. I mean,
I think they
spend thousands. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, they have to figure out the resolution too. Like the video display has to not feel like you're looking through a screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a weird fishbowl.
Yeah, like
one that all kind of has that screen door effect too, right? Like
it feels pixelated. Like you're looking through a screen door. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such an amazing effect though. Like I think we're in infancy and three, four, five years from now, it's going to be so much better. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I do like I was reading an article today and the biggest thing, even for people who want to try it, like Tony and I are kind of like in the camp of until you can prove to me that, you know, this is something we want to use, like we're going to let other people test it. But the big thing, even for people who are into it, is that price, like that price point is still a huge barrier to entry. Like it's, you know, you're talking $800 or, you know, $650 for the PlayStation version of it. And then on the PC side, you're talking even higher. So,
yeah, that's a huge thing, obviously. But
yeah,
if they somehow started to bake it into the systems, though, like, hey, this is part of the system, and the system was like $600 or $700. How would you feel about that? Like, I don't know.
I would probably not buy that system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Never mind.
That's like the Kinect thing, right? Like, do you want this? Do you need this for what you want to buy that system for? So, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe in 4 or 5 years it'll be more ready. But
maybe in 4 or 5 years they can do that, and that could be like this thing that distinguishes the new system is like, hey, it comes with VR with it. Like,
yeah. You never maybe know. They can get around not having like so many wires and stuff.
And that's the price point. Dude, like it needs to be affordable.
The wires are a huge thing, Chris. Thank you for bringing that up. That's a huge problem with PSVR. It's insane.
Well, that was something I read on the Microsoft side was that maybe one of the reasons why they're not bringing the VR solution for Scorpio this year is that they believe that for consoles, it needs to be a wireless experience.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's got to get there because the wires are a huge hindrance to the experience. It's honestly a huge thing that, like, if I had just a little headset, I could sit next to me on my couch and just pick it up real easily instead of having, like, a fucking truck attached to it, like, with all these wires, like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I would pull it out more. I would play with it. Like,
right. But because it's such a hassle to, like, pull out and set up, like, that's it's not conducive to using it all the time.
Yeah. I think.
And how are you going to keep your tolerance up, Jeff? You can't use it all the time.
Exactly.
All right. So I don't think any of us think VR is going to be a big show at E3, right? Like, there might be some stuff from the PlayStation side.
I hope so.
It's entirely possible, unless it turns out to be exactly like anything else that Sony has announced besides the PlayStation. That it's just like, year one, we're really into it, and if it doesn't literally change the world, it'll just disappear.
I mean, it's the market leader for VR stuff, right? Like, they sold over 1 million of those, so.
Right, and Resident Evil was a really big hit, so if they try and do some more stuff like that, and, you know, it's entirely possible that it'll work out to their advantage.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what Sony does for their 3-3 stuff for VR. But let's see. What do you guys have for, what do you think you're going to see out of EA on Saturday?
Real quick.
Yeah.
Before we move into this other segment, there are two articles I think everyone should read. And one is Kotaku's article, like the report about Mass Effect's development.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Which is real good about like why the game turned out the way it did. I mean, the short version is that they basically had the exact same problems Destiny had, which was like nobody could agree on a story.
Right.
They had really poor development tools. They had like barely any leadership. Leadership changed 3 times in the middle of development of this game.
It was developed in a short time span.
Well, it was 5 years, and then 5 years, a lot of the game came together in the last 18
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah.
And
like,
then...
And I could see why EA at that point is like, you gotta push this out.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, we've spent five years.
5 years.
Yeah, but with all sorts of these problems along the way, and understaffing, etc., and then all of a sudden you're gonna ramp up development in the last year and a half.
Right, but that understaffing isn't EA's fault. That's BioWare's fault.
And right.
Like, EA's the one funding all this shit, so at some point they're like, hey, like, either shit or get off the pot. Like,
yeah.
And then I recommend everybody go read, I'm only, like, partway through it because it's a novel, but Waypoint just put, like, last week put out this oral history of Halo from, like, all of the old Bungie crew, like Marty and Jason and all those guys who like founded the company, basically from like Halo's inception to all the way through, I guess, current times. I don't know, maybe until the release of the last Bungie Halo game, but it's like 35,000 words, and it is an intense amount of information. Between like, I'm not even a big Halo fan, and it's like a fascinating read just about like the times and like what went into Halo 1, 2. Like, as far as I am, I've only read up to the very end of Halo 2's development and basically how that game almost made everybody leave the company and stuff like that. But yeah, I think everyone, like Halo fans especially, I think will get a huge kick out of that one.
Yeah, I'll have to give that one a read.
It's a tab I have open on my phone now because it's like I'm gonna have to slowly chip away at this one.
So EA,
yeah.
Saturday afternoon, I think.
The exact time is 3 p.m. Eastern.
So Saturday afternoon at 3. Well, I mean, we know we're going to see Madden. We're going to see FIFA.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, sports. Cool.
Yeah, sports.
Thank God I'm not going to be around for that.
You mean, yeah, sports. That's what
Where's that hell yeah, Fozzie?
I think Bobby's
on mute. He's setting up speakers or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he thinks of sports.
I think he would dispute you if he was
Hey, he
on.
Ain't here to defend himself. I'm just going to give Fozzie his opinion.
Hello, I'm here. I'm setting up speakers.
Fozzie, you like
hell
sports.
Hell yeah from Madden. Give us a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So we know that, you know, their EA Sports stuff is going to be there. Yeah. We know Battlefront, they're probably going to show off a lot of that.
Right.
Yeah.
We expect I'm hoping we see a lot of single player campaign stuff.
I believe Dragon Age.
Did BioWare say they were showing anything? I thought they.
I don't know that they're showing anything, but I know it's there.
Yeah. An announcement of Dragon Age would be real cool. I like Inquisition a lot.
Or NBA Street Volume 4. Oh God.
What?
I could get behind a new NBA Street game. Those were fun.
Give me some NFL, whatever the fuck it was called. Street? Was it Street?
Hell yeah.
And what were they like? Would like pile drive people? And
it was all like the running game, basically.
Hear that? Or
that might be Street. NFL Hits, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't think you'll ever see that game again.
That was Midway, right?
NHL Hits, baby.
MLB. Anyways.
No, what was the EA tried to do a football, like, it was like NFL Street, wasn't it?
Yeah, they did NFL Street, and then they redid Blitz not too long ago.
It was kind of fun, though. Anyways, not to sidetrack this. I don't even know what we're talking about. Go ahead.
We're still talking about EA. What else does EA have? Like, what's their racing game?
Need for Speed will be out. They announced that this week.
I couldn't remember if that was them or Ubisoft, I'll be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
No, Ubisoft has the racist game.
Which one?
Far Cry 5.
Oh, well, yeah, I knew that, but doesn't Ubisoft... I mean, Ubisoft has the crew, don't they?
I was trying to make a joke, sorry.
Ubisoft has the crew, and they have Trackmania.
Okay, so they don't have a racing game. Okay.
No, the crew.
Right. But I thought that's... Yes. But I thought they had, like, a more mainline one that I had, for some reason, connected to them. Okay.
No, just the crew.
Okay, so Need for Speed...
Was it the crew? I think it's the crew.
Yeah.
Need for Speed will definitely be there. That's that they just announced that brand new.
What else does EA make?
I
feel like used to make a whole lot of games. Like
but Visceral's working on
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
We won't see, I assume, because they're talking about Battlefront this year.
Yeah. I would really like to hear about Dead Space. I'd love to see a new Dead Space game.
Do you think there could be another studio that's working on it?
Maybe.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, like, that would be an interesting prediction, but I don't know if it would happen because I don't know who would be doing it.
Yeah, right. Actually, you know, Visceral's working on that Star Wars game, so.
Yeah, buddy.
With Motive.
Motive is like their Star Wars. So Motive is also writing a single player campaign for
Battlefront.
So they're doing that. So I don't know. And Amy Hennig's at Visceral, so I feel like they would handle that. And that's a single player only game. So Motive maybe is backup. I don't know. I'm not really sure how that relationship is.
Yeah, I don't know what else EA has. I mean, Plants vs Zombies. Maybe we get Plants vs Zombies. Garden Warfare 3.
Right, I don't think we see any more Titanfall stuff, right? Like,
no, not yet.
I mean, even if it's DLC, right? Like,
Tiger Woods, yo.
Any Battlefield DLC? Tony, is there anything new coming?
I mean, they got to announce their next pack, right?
Yeah,
because they Shall Not Pass was what, a couple months ago now.
Yeah. Maybe they could show some of that.
Yeah.
I'd like to actually see something new out of EA, but
I think they said they were supposed to announce two games. Where did I? Maybe I just dreamed that. Where they said that their conference was an hour long, and I saw something that said like it should include two unannounced games, but I could have very
Freedom.
But that could be the Dragon Age thing, right?
Right. That could be one of them. Yeah.
Freedom. Fighters 2.
Yeah.
What?
That was them. Wasn't that EA?
I don't know.
I don't even know what that game is.
It's classic.
It's a GameCube. It was that era, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It was like a four-player, like, war game.
Right. Don't they have Criterion? Don't they own them? Or Criterion doesn't exist anymore, right?
Didn't they? No, they kind of do, but yeah, in terms of them being a big studio, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot out of them. Maybe there's nothing. Maybe there's nothing from EA.
Right, well, I mean, I have to wonder, besides Battlefront, what is EA bringing to their EA Play event, right? Like, and they still have the sports games?
They'll have Madden, they'll have FIFA, they'll have NHL.
Does EA own The Sims?
They'll have Need for Speed.
Yeah, no, they do.
The Sims.
The Sims, SimCity, yeah, they have Maxis.
You know what I would like?
It's been a while.
I would like The Sims 4 on consoles.
Consoles?
Yeah, I would really like
that. Do you think we get SimCity 5? And they've like, we're going to wash away the stink.
No. Maxis is dead.
Yeah, I don't think so, but I would love a port of the last one.
Of the last SimCity?
No, Sims 4. Sims
4. Oh, I was like, yeah, you don't want SimCity on console.
Yeah.
You don't want it anywhere. You want it.
I know that was a bad version of SimCity.
Yeah.
Mirror's Edge, we're not going to get that.
Nope.
What I really want is for them to announce backwards compatibility for Kingdoms of Amalur.
Ooh, that'd be nice. I'd play that game again.
I want them to make more Kingdoms of Amalur.
Don't think that's
going to happen. I actually don't even know. Are they even, like, could they even license it backwards compatible? Like, is that even humanly possible?
They're the publisher for it, so.
Right, but because the rights are so tied up with, like, the government of Rhode Island, like, are they?
I mean, I don't know. They're selling it on. They're still selling it on like, Xbox Live and PSN, so.
Okay.
So I don't know how that stuff works, but I would love if that got backwards compatibility. That'd be great. That game was really good.
I never played it. Yeah,
if it was like, take Fable and mix it with like the Elder Scrolls. Like that type of art style with that type of open world. And it was really cool. Had some good writing in it, too. Let's see. What else we got? So Microsoft is on Sunday.
Yes, 5 p.m. Eastern.
We know that they're probably going to have a big unveil of the Scorpio. Do we get a price there?
I feel like we have to. Like, if they're going to unveil that thing and they plan on selling it later this year, like, you either open with a price or you end with a price.
So what do we think the price is going to be?
$600.
Well, that's a little high, Tony.
Most powerful console ever. But I mean, do we want to think realistically, or do we want to think like they need, you know? Feel like the Bombcast covered half this. Right?
So I think it needs to be $400. I don't know if it actually hits $400.
Right. Like, I feel like if it comes out at anything higher than the Pro, everyone just looks at it and goes, I can just get a Pro. Like, I don't think that it'll be significant, because all the games have to run on a Xbox One, so the games won't look markedly better on the other console, because they'll still be built on old hardware.
Yep.
And stuff. So, like,
that's not entirely true, though.
Like the Prime Minister of Canada?
Ha ha ha.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, so these games, like, you know, you can play a game on the Xbox One and you can play a game on your PC. They're the same game. But the one on the PC looks and runs markedly better.
And it'll run better. I don't know if it's enough to, like, if it's like $100. What is the Xbox One?
I mean, it's supposed to be $300, but you can get an Xbox One S for like $250 regularly.
Right. So, okay, let's say, you know, $200 to almost double the price. Like, it has to do more than just look better, right? I mean, that's why everyone looks at the Pro and is like, eh, but it's only $100 more as opposed to almost.
Right. Double. Yeah, there's got to be more than that. Just look better, run better. It's got to be something else.
A lot of people look at the Pro and say, fuck that.
Right, like, and I feel like Xbox, like Microsoft, shot themselves in the foot real hard by, like, I mean, consumer wise, it's awesome, but I mean, for like the company wise, making all of their games available on PC as well, like, makes it there'd be even less of a reason to upgrade your console if you have a really nice PC. But
I don't think, like, if you were gaming on a regular PC, you're probably not a console gamer anyway.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a PC that is, like, you know, you're running 4K capable stuff on it, you upgrade your graphics card regularly, you're not messing around with an Xbox or a PS4 outside of, I want to play Uncharted or I want to play Halo.
Right. So if you want to play Halo now, one would assume that it'll just be on the PC.
But I don't think they're losing anything there.
I guess it's just, but it's less of a reason for that person who only has a PC to buy your console.
I don't think they're aiming for that market, though.
Okay.
I think they're aiming for the people that, I just want to sit in front of my TV, turn the thing on, and play. They're looking for Jeff.
Fair enough.
Where is he?
Where in the world is El Jefe?
Well, no, like Jeff, you're never gonna like buy like a gaming PC and play around
with
hardware stuff. Like, you want something
that sucks.
Yeah, you want shit you can plug in. You want be able to plug it in your TV, turn it on. Plug a game in, and an hour later you can play it because it installed for an hour. But
I don't even get that on my consoles anymore, where I fucking plug it in and work. But like, it's a little closer to what I want.
Right.
So you basically are already doing that. You're already doing a whole PC thing.
But he's still not going to buy a PC. No.
So my question then,
because
he's
obstinate,
since you have been targeted as the key market for this console, what would you need in order to make you upgrade from your Xbox to a Scorpio?
I mean, I might on a whim. That's how like impulsive I am. But like,
Jesus
Christ. But I like, if I'm trying to be analytical about it, like, I don't know. Like, it has to be a new system, like with exclusive games. Otherwise, if it's not like a new system with exclusive games, it's like how I'll treat a phone where like I'll upgrade it when I get to it. And I don't care what version I get, if it's that one or the one after it or whatever, you know.
Well, I think that's where Microsoft's going with this, is not everybody's going to upgrade to Scorpio.
Yeah, but then how excited should I be for this? It's like, okay, whatever, like, show me something that I give a fuck about, and then maybe, but otherwise, I might do it if I want to at some point.
Right, like, I think, you know, despite the fact that, like, Sony's sort of pitch on this thing was real bad, with the Pro, they didn't market it as like a whole new thing. Like, this is not the next generation of PlayStation gaming. This is just like, hey, if you want this HDR and 4K stuff, here is your thing. And the way Microsoft is positioning themselves is like, this is our chance to make things right. It's a reboot of the Xbox One.
I think
maybe, yeah,
people are reading into it as that. I think that they are rebooting the Xbox brand, but that Xbox brand is now across multiple systems. It is not just the thing you have plugged into your TV. It's also what you have your laptop and your PC. Like, it is everything now carries that like Xbox branding.
Sure, but I don't know, like, how else can they market the Scorpio in a way that seems appealing, but also, I don't know, like, it feels like a weird catch, a weird double-edged sort of, like, we have this really powerful console, and it's like, all right, well, what does it do? It's like, well, games that you can buy and play on your other system just look and run a little bit better. It's also double the price.
Well, I don't think look or run a little bit better is going to be how it is either. Like, this is going from, like, where Xbox was able to hold 30 frames a second to all their stuff will be able to do 1080p 60.
Why don't they just treat it as, like, a new system, except the games are forwards compatible. Like, you could, you can play games that are for that system, but, like, this is
I agree with you, Jeff. Like, yeah. I think that, like, what it should be is, like, there will be Xbox Scorpio-only stuff.
Yeah, like, treat it as new, but your Xbox One games play on it.
Right. to me, that's what it should be. Like, this is like your, it's your iPhone, you know, 7S or whatever. And like, there's going to be stuff that can only play on this because that's the 7S only runs this operating system and it doesn't run the one that the 7 does.
Let me make my prediction. They will say something about exclusive something for Xbox.
No, unless their plan has changed. I mean, Phil Spencer's been out there a million and a half times being like, anything that you can get on the Scorpio will also run on a regular Xbox.
Then I have no real incentive.
Exactly. And that's my point. It's like, they're treating it that, like, they're not treating it as an upgrade. They're treating it as like the next Xbox, but only partially.
But I don't think there is going to be a next. Like, I don't think.
It's going to get blurred.
I don't think there's ever going to be a next Xbox. Like, there's not going to be. Like, there's going to be a PS5.
Right.
There is not going to be a next Xbox.
Right. And so I think if, like, you want to do the Apple thing where, like, every two versions we drop off the last one, they maybe should have undercut themselves a little bit and, like, with, in terms of maybe not going so hard so fast on the power, because it just creates a weird perception of the system.
But they had to.
Right. Like, if they're like between a rock and a hard place.
The pro is at 4.2
teraflops.
Whatever already. You can't release something that is weaker than the pro.
Right.
It has to be. Like, the Xbox One was underpowered from the go. It has to be more powerful.
So, but like, I don't know, like paying almost 200 to twice the amount of money for a power upgrade, however significant, when it will more or less be the same console aside from hardware. Like, they haven't said that, like, now, you know, who knows, maybe the insides of the software and like a system level are different and it has different features, but it doesn't seem like that on the outset. It's just like, hey, this is like, it'll look and sound and smell like your old Xbox. It'll just run your games a little bit better, to maybe much better. I don't know. Are they doing a boost mode thing where it'll power up your old games?
Yeah, like everything will run better on the Scorpio. Like, the Digital Foundry article, when they announced the specs and everything.
Right, I did read that.
They detailed into that, like, you will be able to put in your stuff that you have today, and it will. Microsoft is doing all the work on that, and that stuff will just work out of the box on your Scorpio, or whatever the hell it's going to be called.
Has anyone decided whether they're getting the Scorpio?
I'm getting it.
Yeah, I'm like getting
it as soon as it comes out.
Yeah, me too.
You too? Really?
Really? Right.
Yeah, because its specs are so much higher than any other console ever made. Like, it's tough. You can't really, like, when they launched the PS4 and the Xbox One, like, the PS4 was slightly higher. This is like way, way higher than anything we've ever seen before.
Yeah, but
I just, but I'm worried about console, I guess.
I'm just worried about, like, the fact that they're not treating it that way. Because if it was like, hey, this is the new thing, and it's going to be, like, everything's going to be way better, as opposed to...
Well, I mean, that's... But all we know about it is the specs. Like, I feel like that's exactly how they're treating it.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm surprised you guys are both devoted to buying it before even seeing, like, what we're getting. Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's going to have, right, like, just on the base level, it's a more powerful system under the hood, right? It has a UHD Blu-ray drive in it, and it's basically future-proofed for the next TV I buy.
Right.
Like, out of the box, it'll be ready to do 4K everything. Like, as soon as I plug my TV in.
Sure, but is 4K actually going to be the standard?
Yeah, like that. They are expecting by 2020 that 50% of TVs will be 4K.
Alright.
It's so pretty, Jeff. It's so
I don't know. Pretty. I guess, like, I'm not a power gamer. I guess, like, I don't give a crap about, like, any of that stuff. Like, graphics output and like frame rate is, like, whatever. If it just runs and smoothly, I'm good to go. Like, if the Scorpio comes out and then they drop the price of the original Xbox by $100, I'm way more enticed to go get an original Xbox.
Well, so here's what's going to happen. They're going to come out. They're going to announce the Scorpio. That original Xbox is not going to be sold because I think they've already replaced it. I think the S is the base model now.
All right, whatever the base model is. My hope is that stores will be like, we got to get this shit out of here, and I can pick one of those up for real dirt cheap.
See, I think you're going to end up in the same situation you do with the PS4 and the Pro, though.
Which is?
Like,
you're going to pick both. Like, they're both
going to be on
the shelf. Like, they're not clearing out old PS4 stock, like, of the Slim. Like,
damn,
that's still being sold, and they're not going to clear out Xbox One S stock either. Like, that'll be on, like, it's not going to be on clearance. Like,
right. So, and I guess that's part of the perception problem with the Scorpio, right? Is that, like, the PS4 Pro is being positioned as a power upgrade of, like, a PS4 S. The Scorpio is not.
No, that is not that mischaracterizes the positioning of the PS4 Pro. Like, they have marketed that as an elite system. It's not a slight upgrade like the S.
Right, yeah, like the S was literally the Xbox One with, like,
No. I'm sorry. I meant like an iPhone S, not like a Xbox S. Sorry. Like a 7S or something like that, like, or a 6S or whatever, where it's like,
but
this phone, it has like better features and stuff, but like it's more or less the same thing with just like a slightly better camera and a slightly better battery.
Right, but what's the difference between, like, so we'll go with the iPhone situation here, like, right? So you have the iPhone 6, you have an iPhone 6S, and an iPhone 7.
Right.
Like, what's the big difference between the 6 and the 7?
Realistically, fairly little.
Right.
It actually has less stuff.
And so, like, this is what this upgrade path is for Microsoft from now on. Like, this is that middle one, and then there'll be another one, and then there'll be another one after that. Like, every 3 or 4 years, there'll be a new one. And at some point, they will drop off that, like, you know, the original Xbox will be gone, and you will not be able to, like, you can still buy it, and you can still play stuff on it, but the new stuff won't work on it. Yeah. But that we're not there yet. They're not cutting the Xbox One section.
Do you think then they come out and they market the Scorpio as that half step? Or do they say it's a full step, like, it's because it's so much more powerful than anything else, including our original system, but also that, games run on both? Like how do they
come out and message that? Also plays on Xbox One.
They've already said, right? That's all they've released about the Scorpio. That it's way more powerful, but it'll still run your own games. That's exactly
what I said already. When you put out games on it, it should say Xbox Scorpio game, or, you know, like, that should be the packaging.
But,
and
see,
also, like, plays on Xbox One. That, you know what I mean? That's,
but you're thinking of them as two different things. The Scorpio is, like, from what they've told us, it is still an Xbox One.
It's Xbox One, yeah.
Like, yeah. It is literally the next step up in the iPhone chain.
It will just be called Xbox One, yeah.
Or whatever they call it. Like, but it is not, like, it is not a generational leap. There will not be generational leaps. Like, I really think they're getting out of the generational leap thing. They don't need to, because basically both the PS4 and the Xbox One are just PCs that you plug in.
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, there is no generational leap on your PC, right? Like, I mean, you get a new graphics card, but you don't get PC 2.
No, actually.
All my games don't work now. I don't understand what happened.
For the longest time, like, PC generations were measured by console generations, because that's when everybody was like, oh shit, we see how the graphics have improved from one to the other. Like,
right, but they never, like, it doesn't actually change, right? Like, it's still just PC. Like, and I think that's where Microsoft's going with this. It's just going to be Xbox.
Like, I wonder how that'll fly with the general consumer.
Will they even notice?
Yeah, who knows? Like,
yeah.
And I also don't think that they're looking at this as like we're trying to regain traction.
Well, then, what is the point? Like, if they don't like, if they're not trying to gain ground on Sony, like...
I don't think they're competing with Sony anymore.
Well, that's what they'll tell you.
They've moved out of that. Like, they are now, like, we have the Windows platform, and whether that's under your TV or on your PC, that's where we're trying to hit you. We're trying to hit you at every side.
Right, because they sort of got their ass handed to them at the beginning of the generation. Like, all this stuff's... like, didn't necessarily, perception-wise, feel like it was planned out. It was more like, oh, shit, our box isn't selling, so let's just put it on everywhere so we can make some money somewhere.
But I also think if you go back to when they announced the Xbox One, this was their original vision. Like, it was just so badly taken.
Wasn't their vision the opposite? They wanted... No. You to have everything on the Xbox console, like it was supposed to be your TV, your DVR, and your
everything was going to be Xbox. Like, but they were already moving in that way on the PC side. Like, but they wanted everything. Like, oh, we don't like. Oh, we it can't be online all the time. Your fucking system is online all the fucking time. Like, oh, like you're trying to lock us out with by we can't share games, which wasn't true. Like. They're doing the family share thing now. It's just not called family share anymore. I have an Xbox in my basement, and I have an Xbox up here, and I have games on both that I only bought once, and my son can play on his gamer tag on one, and I can play on mine in the basement.
Right, but I mean, Matrick did such a
stunning
job like, of making sure everyone knew exactly what was going on. It's like, hey man, you don't have an internet connection, just go buy a 360.
Right, and he was arrogant and obnoxious, much like Sony was at the beginning of the PS3 era, that, like, they had a plan behind it, and it was a good plan. It was just communicated so shittily. And both Sony and Microsoft have kind of enacted on that original plan that Microsoft had. Like, I mean, how much stuff is now digital? Like...
Yeah.
And you have to install your games to the hard drive. Like they don't run off the disk anymore.
Bullshit.
But it is, right? Like you have to install your games. Like they don't run off the disk. Like so everything was hard drive enabled anyway. That disk is basically just a restriction check. It's your little like scanner thing. Oh, they did buy this. Whereas, you know, Microsoft's original plan was you put the disk in, it installs, and you could throw that disk away. You don't need it no more. If you buy it retail.
Right.
But
we were scared of the dark new future. We didn't know the real dark new future that was ahead of us.
Right. And now we're all scared.
Yeah.
But
doesn't matter what system you have.
So that we don't keep Tony much longer because he has to get on a plane in 7 hours.
Yes.
Oh no,
I'm half asleep.
Price wise, like, what do you realistically think price for the Scorpio?
I think if they don't match the Pro, then they're in trouble. But
yeah, it's 400.
I bet it's more than 400. I bet it's like 450.
Yeah, I'm going super safe. 400 is an easy point for me for year round predictions.
Like, I feel like if they price themselves above, like, Sony has a really good way of just being like, we're cheaper. Like, we may not be as powerful, but...
Well, I think they're going to come out, regardless of what Microsoft does, even if Microsoft matches them, F400, I think they're going to come out Monday night.
$499.
So you're thinking 500. You're thinking premium
it's
device.
Premium console. Up. It's not for scrubs. Get on that shit.
Okay. Go with it. We're marking Fozzie down for 500.
That would be insane.
We're marking Tony down for 450.
Now Tony said 600 originally.
He was fucking around.
Imagine if they just were like, you get a second job to afford this one.
I think 400.
Yeah, 400 is right.
I would love it if it was 400. I'd be a little bit.
It's the only thing it can be.
Right, because I mean, whether or not
many other things,
like whether or not like it realistically matches up against the Pro, obviously it's more powerful and stuff. Like people will just look at the two and be like, why. Like, except for obviously the most like in-depth like power user and stuff. Like, I think if they're trying to sell this thing, and they got to match that thing, or else. Because they all the original systems both launched at the same price, right? Or did PlayStation launch cheaper?
The Xbox was $100 more expensive, which was a big issue for them as well.
Right. So why would they? My hope is that they wouldn't attempt to repeat that.
Yeah, they launched at $500, and then Sony came out and were like, "We're $400."
Right. Okay.
And you can share your games. Okay. So we have three of us at $400. Tony's at $450. Fozzie's at $500. Any other things you expect out of Microsoft?
I still think they're going to announce like a downloadable upgrade for Halo 3 anniversary.
Okay.
Conker's Bad Fur Day 2.
I'm sorry, what?
Conker 2.
What's that?
Conker's Bad Fur Day. It was an Halo 64 game.
Yes, we know.
No, yeah, but I mean, like, you know, no, what they do is that they
announce... I've never heard of it. What is this Conker?
They announce him as... They bring back the avatars, and it's just Conker-themed shirts for the avatars.
What was that fucking, like, game-building game? What
Project Spark?
Yeah.
No, you know what he is now? Conker is a character in Killer Instinct.
You know what, though? I did play, like, those Project Spark levels they built for Conker, and it was honestly basically about the quality level of, you know, an N64 game. So, there was that.
I don't know what that means. Is that a good thing?
Sure.
No.
Okay.
No, but it was more... It was, like... It was just... You know, he was still there in the last couple of years. Conker's still alive. Could come back.
Still kicking.
New IP. Do you think we see a new IP from Microsoft?
If they do, it's because they paid some third party to make it. I don't have any first parties left.
That we know of.
Right. If they announce a new studio as well, that would be cool. But I mean, they've got the Coalition, they've got 343, they've got who does Turn 10, right? They do. That's the Forza guys.
They have two Forza teams. Turn 10 is part of them,
right? And is Forza 4? Is that the
seven?
That's right. I made the same mistake last time.
That'll be there, but
right. So unless they do some second party thing like Sony's been doing, where it's like, hey, this comes to Xbox and PC.
They could. They did that with ReCore last year and Dead Rising 4. I don't know if that ever came to PC.
I think it's a year's exclusive to Xbox, and then it'll come to PS4 as well. I don't know if they'll do the Tomb Raider thing again. I bet you they'll announce it, but I don't know if they will try and do the whole year's exclusive thing. I'm not sure that actually worked out well for them.
I mean, it probably worked out fine for Microsoft. I don't think it worked out well for Square.
Yeah, well, that too. Then again, the game could have sold really well on all the consoles, and it wouldn't have worked out well for them.
Right. Okay. Bethesda, real quick. Wolfenstein, obviously. We're thinking.
I hope so, yeah.
Anything else that we're expecting from them?
All right, guys. Don't feel bad about this, but I got to go to bed.
All right, Tony.
All right, no problem. Have a good night, man.
Enjoy your trip.
We'll see you on the flip side of E3 next week.
Yeah, you guys can tell me all about it.
Oh, well, you can tell us about it as you're going there for Paradox. So.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Enjoy Boston. Have a good time.
Later.
See you.
All right, Bethesda.
I mean, if they don't have Wolfenstein, I'm going to be really upset because I really want Wolfenstein.
It's all I want.
I don't know what else they show. Like, I mean, Bethesda, I mean, the Softworks dudes, they don't come out and they don't talk about Elder Scrolls, obviously. Like, why would they do that? They just came out. Because Fallout 4 was, like, what? Not last year, but the year before. And all their DLCs up. They don't announce that. They're in that path of, we don't announce our big games unless it's coming out 6 months from now.
Do you think we get, like, I mean, it won't be Obsidian, but do you think we get something like that where it's... they've contracted somebody to
I really hope so, and I really hope it is Obsidian, because New Vegas was amazing.
I don't think Obsidian will work with Bethesda again after
I don't blame them for that, but yeah. I would be totally down for that, because I actually think, well, I think New Vegas is a better game than both 3 and 4, so if they were to give it out to somebody else to make a different, better Fallout, then I would be totally down with that.
High five.
I don't think they talk about their MMO, unless they boast some like weird double XP weekend or something, because they just came out with their Morrowind expansion.
Yeah, they might show it on stage, like, hey, come play Morrowind.
Right. The Legends card game is out, I think, like, officially, so they might talk about that, but I haven't seen that lighting the world on fire. Like, Gwent just came out, and that's what everybody's talking about instead.
Right. What else do they have? Gwent 2?
I don't know. I like the first one. I mean, it was like a weird mid-tier game, but, like, it had cool music. I like the soundtrack.
I could go for some weird mid-tier games.
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
You know, what else does Bethesda have? Like, do you think, like, it shows something? Like, a Doom, like, single-player expansion? Like, new missions or something? Like...
I could get behind that.
I think that would really, like, not multiplayer stuff, but, like, here's, like, a 8-mission pack, and it's $15 or something, like...
They probably show that Quake Champions thing again.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
It's not the Quake I want, but...
Yeah, I actually got a beta invite to that. I never wound up playing it, but... do we see Evil Within 2, right? Tango still under them?
That could work.
If not that, then maybe another Shinji Mikami game?
New horror-type game from them?
I'd be happy with that. I think that's right. It. Is that all Bethesda has, right?
Like, yeah, I think that's it.
Weren't they making some battle game? Like, yeah, that battle in the title?
Cry.
Did they cancel that?
I believe so. That was from Battle Cry Studios, and they don't sound like they are doing a whole lot anymore. So,
righto. Cool.
Ubisoft on Monday.
I mean, we talked about Assassin,
obviously. Yeah. The Crew, probably.
Far Cry
5. Anything else?
What Tom Clancy game did they announce? Oh, yeah, the Rabbids Nintendo game, maybe? Yeah,
Rabbids.
Right? Do you think new Rayman, maybe?
Maybe 2D Rayman, yeah.
I'm gonna put myself on a limb here. I would love to see a new Splinter Cell.
Dude, Splinter Cell and Prince of Persia are the two games I want most. And
Prince of Persia. Yeah. All right. Those two, let's throw out.
Evidently, the last Splinter Cell did not do good.
Shocking, yeah.
It was good, though. I liked it.
Oh, I'm not disparaging, but it's evidently it did not sell well.
I think the biggest problem is that they sort of like Assassin's Creed kind of took over both those slots.
I think they have to accept the fact that the Splinter Cell is mid-tier now, and like that's just what it is.
Yeah, and, but you know what? They also can't find a way to make that game like open world. So why would Like that's all they make nowadays.
Yeah.
Do we see any like indie titles like Valiant Hearts or Child of Light?
Yeah, they've been pretty good with that stuff, right? So maybe we get one or two of those.
Far Cry 5. Yeah, we said The Crew.
Just Dance 2018.
Right.
NBA. No, that's 2K.
What Tom Clancy game do they announce this year?
Right, they just released Ghost Recon. So,
I'm saying,
do you think they just announced more DLC?
Maybe the Division 2.
Yeah, I think I never played the first one, but I heard enough good things that I think a sequel.
I gotta head out.
All right, Foss.
All right, bye.
Bye, kids.
The Division 2. I mean, the Division held a pretty good. Held a pretty good audience, so I could see another one of those. South Park.
Right, yeah, I guess that is supposed to come out at some point ever.
Long after I cared.
Yep. Yeah. They had me last year. If it had come out in December,
yeah, I probably got it. Exactly.
They're a year too late.
And then they always, like, their big thing the past several years has been to announce a new game the end of the conference, right? So we'll have something like that. Because last year it was
Beyond Good and Evil.
Before that, was,
Jeff's still holding that hope.
Was Ghost Recon, right?
I don't know if you saw. I found it, like, you know how like Facebook has like memories from this day or whatever.
I know.
So like a couple days ago, there was one from 2011 where I was like, "Is Ubisoft going to announce Beyond Good and Evil 2 and make my whole life?" That was 2011. That was like 3 years. That was like 3 years after the first one came out. It's been a decade now.
Oh, Jeff, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm going to say it. Beyond Good and Evil 2 trailer.
I actually think the dude said specifically that he wasn't going to be there to show it off. But
I'm still going to say it.
I mean, the good surprise is I would be totally down with that. That'd be really fun.
Be great. It would be way better than Steep or whatever they showed off last year that ended up sucking. That stupid game. Yeah, it was not good in my opinion.
That game looked good though.
It did.
It did. It did not.
I know it didn't.
But I own it.
Yeah.
Let's just say I own it, but I have not played it much.
Sean really got into it though.
Yeah, for like a day or two, probably.
Sean probably played a little more than that. Yeah, I don't know. I would really love a Prince of Persia game from them, but it's probably not happening.
That'd be great.
Sorry, Jeff.
Yeah, we're not going to hear anything about Watch Dogs yet.
Yeah, I don't think so.
How would if I saw that game for like $30 or less? Would you say that's a good buy or no?
I think like now, like they've patched it a bunch and stuff and stuff like it's a.
I never hear anyone talk about it.
From what the Giant Bomb guy said and the dudes over at Waypoint, like it was fun and it told a decent enough story until the end, I guess. And that like the characters are actually really good and cool and like the third act kind of sucks, but like it's fun otherwise. Do they announce? Oh, do they talk about that announced? What was it called? Pioneer, that game that they like weirdly announced in Watch Dogs 2 that they said was a real thing.
No,
it was that science fiction spaceship game.
Yes, which I think would be awesome, but maybe. I'm gonna say no.
I remember when they like announced that they were like, "Yeah, we put this in the game," and then like development went to shit, so we don't actually know when we're gonna talk about it again. But I'm always down for more sci-fi.
All right, Sony. We know that there'll be that zombie game, God of War.
Yeah. Spider-Man will be there.
Spider-Man, Uncharted.
Right, Lost Legacy.
I'm hearing rumors that Bloodborne 2 will be announced.
I hope so.
And Resistance 4.
Nah, we don't need that.
I think that's a stretch. But
no,
that series was never good to begin with.
The first one was okay.
Yeah, I mean, as a launch game,
I don't need a new one.
I don't think we need a new one either.
Yeah, no.
But Insomniac does have two studios, so
I'd rather they make a second Sunset Overdrive.
Me too.
Than that, you know what though? All right, so here's my question. I might have asked this last week. Forgive me. What is the franchise that they just like pull out of their ass from the PS1 era and are like, we're remaking it? You know, last year was Crash Bandicoot. Yep. The year before that was Windjammers and what's his name comes out wearing is always the game, right? So maybe it was Ridge Racer or something.
I don't know, but
I can't remember. But that's been like their shtick lately, you know. Like, so I assume that's not that. Kojima came out and he was like, "Hey, sorry, I'm not bringing any new Death Stranding stuff. Here's a teaser trailer," and everyone like, "You're fucking with us. We don't believe a word out of your mouth." So who knows about that? I assume they'll announce 5 games that will come out for the next 5 years.
Right. Do we see more of Detroit?
I hope so, because they didn't show it last year.
Does that come out this year?
No. That's
maybe, I was going to say that as well. But.
I think they do say it comes out like in December, and then it gets pushed to like February.
Do we get word of Until Dawn 2?
God, if only. If only that game was so good. But no, I heard it like, what is it, Supergiant, right? They were like, yeah, it didn't sell as well as we hoped, so we don't really know what we're doing. But that game was so good, and it was a really fun like way to play a horror game that I would love for them to do something else like that. And it was such like a neat exclusive for Sony to have. But yeah, I don't know necessarily that Sony would pony up for another one.
It's a shame because that game was really cool. Yeah. There's nothing that like any PSVR stuff. Like, do we get
no?
Maybe I hope so. Announcement that there's like a more games that you can play in full.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
I don't know. I mean, I can hope, even though I don't have the system.
But... You don't even own it, dude.
I know, but like, it's something that I would like to see grow.
I would do.
At some point when I get it, I would like there to be a library, you know? I think partnering with studios like they did with Resident Evil and stuff, like, is the smart way to go and the smart way to get people into VR instead of trying to make their own things. Like, Farpoint came out, everyone was like, this is stupid, I don't want this. But, you know, you make a game and then you find a way to put VR in it in an interesting way, and that's what you get. But
let's see.
I had a thought and now it's gone. I would like to see maybe an announcement of the Horizon DLC, like some trailer or something, like, hey, this is what we're doing. It'll bridge the gap between 1 and 2. Or maybe it's just a bunch of side missions. Like, hey, here's like
this some more backstory.
It takes place in between 1 and 2, but is a short story that won't necessarily pertain to the sequel. It's just like, hey, here's something about the aftermath of the first game or something like that. Like, you know.
Right.
Here's characters that you know and stuff like that. But like, this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the sequel. You won't see what's his name from Quantum. But the actor dude whose name I
can't. Lance Henriksen.
Thank you. You won't be seeing him because you won't be seeing the red glowy orb robot. But this is just a cool like one off tale about what happened in between or something like that.
Do they bring back Twisted Metal?
If they do, Jaffe's not doing it. I don't think anyone's going to care.
What is Jaffe doing?
Jaffe, he drawn made that Drawn to Death that everyone fucking hated.
anyone ever talk about? Yeah.
The only person I heard about talking about was Dan Reichert, and I've never seen a game that should have been more his thing that he just despised. It's like, if this dude of all people is hating it. And then the Waypoint guys checked it out, and they did not like it either. It didn't seem nearly as obnoxious when I played it at PAX, but things changed in that year.
Okay, and then Nintendo wraps it up on Tuesday. Oh, we know Mario Odyssey is going to be there.
Right. Now, the Direct, they said, is only 30 minutes, which is depressingly short.
It's only 30 minutes?
Yep. Because they said that... I guess, what was it? The Bombcast, they said it, right? They back scheduled, right? And they were like, hey.
Somebody cycled back. Like, Nintendo didn't come out and say their Direct's only 30 minutes, but
right. Treehouse begins.
Yeah, at 9:30.
Yeah.
And that is evidently an hour and a half long or something like that.
Yeah.
And so that leaves a half hour for the Direct.
See, I had low expectations for it until you guys said that. Now I have lower expectations.
Right. They talk about two games. One is Mario and the
other
is, I don't know, they spend the first 15 minutes talking about ARMS. Just like they did last year where the first 15 minutes was Pokemon and everyone was like, we literally couldn't care less about Pokemon right now. Just show us Zelda.
ARMS comes out next week, right?
It won't stop them, man. They'll be like, hey, we know this is out, but we're going to show you a cool demo. No, I don't know. I mean, what Splatoon, maybe? Splatoon is in July?
Splatoon, they could do that.
Here's single player, maybe, or something. I mean, Nintendo could show the Rabbids game if Ubisoft doesn't. They could show...
I think you get Smash Brothers DX.
Yeah, what Wii U games will they announce for the Switch?
I think Smash Brothers DX is a no-brainer.
Bayonetta 2 would be sweet. I'm not expecting that one so much.
I am...
Mario and Sonic at the Winter Games.
I would love to see, for the Switch, I would love to see Pikmin 4, which maybe not.
Animal Crossing?
And Animal Crossing, yeah.
Now, here's a question. What third-party game that came out last generation do they talk about? Do they just talk about Skyrim again, or do they be like, hey, here's this great game you guys already played. It's on our system now.
That's something Bethesda might talk about. They might talk about Skyrim coming to phones and Switch.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of what else, what third party thing that, like, they might try to grab. You know, like they
right.
put,
I mean, my, EA already came out and said that the FIFA version that they're putting on there will be feature limited. So, you know,
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, what did they announce at that? The unveiling in January that we haven't seen in a while, right? That were like there was that project like Octopus project thing. Octopath. There was that
by the Bravely Default people.
Yeah, there was. What's his name came out and just said a bunch of words but didn't announce a game. Suda 51
Chronicles 2.
That's right. Yeah, that's in house, right? They could totally talk about that. There's a new Shin Megami Tensei game that they announced.
Can I also be super positive and say Metroid Prime 4?
Don't lie to yourself, Jeff.
I am going to be super positive, but...
That Fire Emblem Heroes game will probably be there. Which is... They announced alongside the 3DS game in January, so I bet you that'll be there. But, like, in 30 minutes, what are they, like, do they dedicate, like, 5 seconds to each game and then 10 minutes to Mario? Like, because that's obviously the big headliner, because that's what their whole booth is made out of this year.
Yeah, but they could do that at the Treehouse, right, where they're going to be streaming all day.
True.
So, I mean, you probably get a little bit of Mario.
I didn't stop them from doing all that with Zelda either, though.
That's like, true.
Hey, 15 minutes of Pokemon, 2 minutes of all the other games, and then half an hour of Zelda. You know, maybe they announce a new Yoshi or Kirby game, like one of them, like their Yarn Fabric series, right?
Yeah, what else could maybe Donkey Kong Yarn,
Baby Mario?
Do they show like Mario Maker Switch?
I feel like that's the one game that was huge on the system that would take a little bit more work to translate because of the lack of touchscreen, like undocking it, like it would only be playable undocked, right?
It has touchscreen, isn't it?
Right, but I mean, like,
well, you would only be able to create levels undocked. Right. You could totally play levels docked, though.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, if they did it and they like added in a reasonable like search system and social system for people. And I think that'd make a lot of people very happy. Like, it would revitalize that community
completely. Mario Maker DX.
Or, you know what would be really cool is if they just announced one of those for a new series. Like, if they did a Zelda one, and it's just like, hey, here's 8-bit Dungeon Maker, and something
that,
like
that's
that.
That's what it'll be, Jeff. Metroid Maker.
Right.
That'd be a step in the right direction from whatever the fuck they did last time. It's not what I want. But
or maybe they just go ahead and they announce, they like tease a sequel and they're like, you know, hey, Mario's coming this year, but next year you can make your own Mario. And it's like, you know, Mario, you know, Super Mario Maker or something like that. And it lets you like connect the worlds and you can build an overmap and more crazy shit, you know, like to make a fully fledged Mario game. Like now you can string four levels together.
Yeah.
Super Mario Maker World.
Right.
It's still not Metroid, though.
Nah, man. Nintendo don't care about Metroid.
Yeah, I know.
Metroid evidently doesn't go anywhere. Only you, Jeff. You're the only one that buys Metroid games.
Hey, I bought Other M. I never finished it, but I bought it.
Bought what?
Other M. I didn't buy Federation Forces, but...
Well,
what about Metroid Prime? You played Prime, nah. Right? Nah. Wait. What?
Nah, I didn't play them. I played multiplayer a lot of those at my friend's house, but...
The Prime games are good.
Yeah, no, no doubt.
You ever played Prime 1?
I don't know. They weren't really my thing. I actually think that, like, the correct way to take Metroid is to make that old version of Prey 2 and just make it with Samus. An open world, like, alien bounty hunter game. And it's literally the antithesis of the Metroid games. But she is a bounty hunter, so, like, play to that strength.
You need to play Metroid Prime, bro.
So
holy shit!
All right, so that's Nintendo. Do we hear anything from anybody about like maybe the purchase of Hitman and IO?
Nah,
I feel like it was too soon. But if anyone's going to buy it, it's going to be Microsoft or Sony, right? Like, and they would announce it there. Like, a third party isn't going to come out in the middle of E3, not at a press conference, and be like, oh yeah, by the way, you bought this. Like, that's the kind of thing that's like Sony comes out and goes, hey man, we heard that you guys really like to kill people, and that maybe your ability to do so was in jeopardy. But guess what? We stepped in and saved the day because we're sick like that. And, you know,
it's going to be Activision's going to buy them.
Right.
It's Call of Hitman.
That's exactly right. You guys either sell this amount of money or we own 75 of your company permanently.
Hitman of Duty.
That sounds like a name a 2-year-old would come up for that. That's awesome. Right.
Just like Activision.
Dude, man, now I want to see a level of Hitman where he's in like a Babies R Us and like just just the weird tools and stuff, like you just stuff a dude in a crib or
anything else we're thinking might come out of E3? Crazy, anything?
I mean, we'll probably see Tomb Raider, right? We'll see the new Call of Duty, I'm trying to think of like staples of games that come out every year at this point, you know, or things, third party stuff that we knew about. I mean, we're supposed to hear about the Life is Strange prequel, right?
Okay.
If that's what it is or something, I mean, one would assume that Shadow of War is going to be there. They just put out a new story trailer, but I'm sure there'll be an E3 demo. Destiny will be there. This is why I wanted a games list to shift, because I know there's like a bunch of things that I'm missing. I don't think Red Dead will be there. I don't think Blizzard will be there in any way, shape, or form. Like, I don't think they're going to be like, hey, we announced, you know, Hearthstone or whatever for consoles. Right, Overwatch is already on everything.
All right.
I don't think Konami shows anything, right? They don't make games anymore.
Oh, they do have that that zombie.
Right, the Metal Gear Survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm missing something, but
we will know very shortly, because E3 is a day away, so.
Yes.
It's going to run for weeks. So when we come back, we'll know everything. We'll know it all.
We will know everything.
But until then, enjoy the craziness of E3 week. It'll be nonstop video game news from Saturday through Thursday. So
Get ready, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.